have just landed here in Serbia. I think some think that I landed at 12:30, but I think I landed just now. Poof. So let us, for a moment, change our mood a little bit. We're going to the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a more contemplative mood. Madhya Lila, chapter 13, verse 137.
Anyeridai mane muraman vindavan mane vane ke karijani taha tumar padadvaya karajadai udaya tabe tumar pura kripamani.
Speaking in the mood of Srimata Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for most people, the mind and heart are one. But because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan. And since you like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna combined. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. And sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed the mood of Krishna and was acting in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And other times he was acting in the mood of Radharani, in the mood of the devotee of Krishna, the pure, unalloyed devotee of Krishna, who had no other desire than to please Krishna. That is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is that abode which is entirely made for the pleasure of Krishna. There is nothing in Vrindavan that is not dedicated to the pleasure and happiness of Krishna. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that my mind and Vrindavan are one. He said, for most people, the mind and the heart are the same. Whatever is in our heart, so many conditioned desires, lust, greed, anger, and so on, are controlling us. And so many of these desires are affecting our mind. And 1,000 times a day, we think lusty thoughts. 1,000 times a day, greed and envy will occur in our consciousness, because the heart is filled with these lower qualities. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, my mind is different. My mind is Vrindavan. I received this message from Madhava Muni that the theme of this particular retreat was Vrindavan. And that's very nice, because after all, Vrindavan is the spiritual world. And I thought to approach it from this verse, because I thought I wanted to bring up that Vrindavan is not a place. One cannot buy a ticket, one cannot go there by train or car. Then one can only enter into the outer covering, the covering of yoga maya, and one can never actually see. One can never actually see the Dham. The Haridam. Srila Jiva Goswami explains in his Satsandarbhas, Mathura is a state of consciousness. It is a state of consciousness. And the essence of that state of consciousness is to please Krishna. Mm. We are all trying, but it's not easy. So, yes, we can try to recreate the mood of Vrindavan. Surely we can. We can do it in many ways. We can create a whole parikrama. We can find the Yamuna. We can do many, many things. We can to remember Vrindavan. But can we go beyond the outer covering of Vrindavan? No. That is difficult in our remembrance because our mind is not fully prepared to do everything for Krishna's pleasure only. That's it. That's where we reach our ceiling, where we reach our limits. So, therefore, when Madhava Muni asked that we would sort of invoke the atmosphere of Vrindavan, then it seemed to be an impossible task. I said, how can I do that? Because I can never go beyond the external covering of the Dham. Somehow or other, each time, no matter how I try, in any direction, I reach my limits. Like, the kirtans are ecstatic, but not as ecstatic as those descriptions of the kirtans of Lord Chaitanya and in the house of Srivas, or Lord Nityananda and his devotees who are dancing for 30 days non-stop, and who young boys who don't eat and rip trees out of the ground. So I'd like to have such kirtans. Trees enough, but we can try, you might say. You're not a young boy. You might do your back in, you know. Whatever, maybe. No, I think that we all, my real point is that all of us, again and again, meet our limitations. Every one of us. It doesn't matter whether you can chant 64 rounds or 128 or whatever, or even 300,000 names. Still, you meet your limitations. Ultimately, we are no matter. It's not about what we do, but simply our love for Krishna is where we are limited. How much love for Krishna do we have? And that's where we all encounter our limitations, and that takes us away. Therefore, I thought I must speak about the six Goswamis. I must speak about Narottam Das Thakur. I must speak about these devotees, because they could go places where I cannot go. So whatever they brought to us, that sort of brings us really closer to the to Vrindavan than anything else can ever do. So that is where we begin. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro premam ritam bunidi. The six Goswamis were always absorbed in utkirtan, in loudly glorifying Krishna. And as they were loudly glorifying Krishna, they were immersed in an ocean of transcendental love. We know the Goswamis, especially from their writings. It's there where we really get to know a lot about them, about a little bit about what we heard about them, beginning with Rupa and Sanatan, who are extraordinary personalities. If we look a little bit at the early life of Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, then we see that they appeared in a Brahmin family that hailed from Karnataka and then settled in Bengal, and just a little bit on the eastern side is the birthplace. And we see that there was a whole community of Karnataka Brahmins that lived with them, because they were a very prominent family from the south. So others who had been under their protection in the south had come with them. There was a break in the family in the south a few generations earlier, and then a whole group split off and went to Bengal. And there, Rupa and Sanatan, living in this community of South Indian Brahmanas in Bengal, were excelling and were extraordinary personalities. It said that then the Nawab Hussein Shah forced them to accept government service, and they lived in this village named Ramakeli. This village, Ramakeli, is very close to the capital of the Muslim government. These days, by car over old broken roads, it takes 45 minutes. And in those days, by palanquin from Ramakeli to Goda, may have also taken 45 minutes. There was the palace in Goda of the rulers of Bengal at that time, the Nawab Hussein Shah. That palace, still today, one can find ruins of that palace. It looks quite European, like Gothic arches are found there. There is also a jail. They claim that was the jail where Sanatan Goswami was locked up. And there, in Ramakeli, Rupa and Sanatan lived. Now, it is described in the Bhakti Ratnakar that when Sanatan Goswami was a young man, that once he had a dream, and that in that dream a Brahmana came, and that Brahmana presented him with Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was extremely happy, because in those days Bhagavatam was not in print, it was a hand copied thing, and obviously it was a very big manuscript to copy. So there were less copies around of the Bhagavatam than of a shorter manuscript. So it was something extraordinary. So he was very happy in his dream that he received the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he woke up. Oh, it was all but a dream. Later that same day, that very Brahmana came and presented him Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was some sort of mystic experience. That was not just an ordinary gift. First of all, it was the Bhagavatam, but the way it came, it really seemed that it had been sent by the Supreme Lord. So in the Krishna Stavamala, Sanatan Goswami describes that the Srimad Bhagavatam became my constant companion. So that is very interesting. A constant companion. Was he always reading Bhagavatam? No, not like that. He also later became a minister. He became a minister. And in government affairs, he was not able to read the Bhagavatam, but he had internalized the Bhagavatam.
He had absorbed the Bhagavatam in his thinking, in his and Srimad Bhagavatam is obviously the book about pure devotional service, and explains how to perform that pure devotional service, what the qualities are of one in pure devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam describes about the great Mahajans, the great devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam describes about the Lord in his various incarnations, Etichaṁ sakalāpumsaṁ Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes that amongst all the incarnations of the Lord, Krishna is the Supreme. So Sanatana Goswami is described as to have dedicated his life to the Bhagavatam. So later, Sanatana Goswami, in Ramakeli, when he was in government service, along with his brother Rupa, was living like very aristocratic Muslims externally, in that kind of aristocratic dress, sometimes being carried in a palanquin from Ramakeli to the court of the king. But at home on the bank of the Ganges, they had built many cottages where many great devotees were invited, who came from all over India. And big discussions on Shastra were there, and the center of these discussions remained Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srila Rupa and Sanatana were deeply, deeply absorbed at that time. According to the Bhakti Ratnakar, at that time in Ramakeli, they were already worshipping Sisi Radha Madan Mohan, who were installed there. And at that time, they were worshipping Radha Kund. They had a Radha Kund, they had a Shama Kund. Now, if we look carefully, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli at one point to meet Rupa and Sanatana. And then we see that at that time, it was only a short time after, and then Rupa Goswami retired. And shortly after that, Sanatana Goswami gave up government service and was placed in the jail. So there really was no time to create a Radha Kund, a Shama Kund, a Lalita Kund, a Vishaka Kund, all these kunds that are described in the Bhakti Ratnakar as being there at the time when they lived in the service of the Nawab. That meant that they were worshipping Radha Kund before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had discovered Radha Kund in Vrindavan. So one can appreciate how much they were already in that internal Vrindavan consciousness, even while they were in the service of the Nawab Hussain Shah. Although externally they were ministers in the government, externally they were performing mundane duties, but internally they obviously were already great exalted devotees, and therefore they wrote to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requesting for to be accepted within his association. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had finally come to Ramakeli, the most extraordinary aspect of the meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis was that Rupa and Sanatana were claiming that they were more fallen than Jagai and Madai. And they explained it. They said, because Jagai and Madai, They have murdered many people. They have committed so many crimes. Said, but we are many times more sinful because we have we have protected many jagais and madais, and under our protection, they have murdered, they have done all these things they could not have done without our protection. Therefore, we are a million times more sinful. Therefore, we are many times more fallen than jagai and madai. And since you are the deliverer of the most fallen, therefore our claim is first up. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response to that display of humility was, he told the brothers to please stop it. He told this humility, please stop it. It's breaking my heart. So that is also very interesting how humility breaks the heart of the Supreme Lord. It's the one thing that really gets to him. So that's a key element in Srila Rupa and Sanat. And that's maybe one thing in our way. That is one reason why we get stagnated in spiritual life. One reason why we reach limits again and again, and a limit of taste, a limit of so Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami's their early life a little bit, showing their devotion and then showing their humility, showing their qualities. And then we want to look at them as writers. As writers, they heard from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They had thoroughly studied many scriptures, and they were meant to take the same conclusions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then elaborately explain them on the basis of revealed scriptures. Nana Shastra Vicharana Kanipano Saddharma Samstapako. And so they did. So Rupa Goswami is of course especially known for the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, for the Ujjvala Nilamani, which is the continuation of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, but also many other works, his transcendental plays, the Vidakta Madhava, and so on. So, Sanatan Goswami, known for Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Ari Bhakti Vilas, then the other Goswamis were there, and then many others came, next generations came, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladevi Jibbusan. So I wanted to look at Vrindavan through these personalities this week. Tonight I just wanted to begin an introduction. My plan was this week to just read some excerpts here and there from the works of all these acharyas, and with that give us glimpses and then comment a little bit. Today, after this kirtan, I'm not able to do something like that. It's not possible. Yeah. I'm not able to do it. The time is also there, and therefore I'm just giving an idea. The basic idea: Vrindavan is a state of consciousness. we can enter in that stage of consciousness by looking, thank you, looking at the Goswamis. Like the Goswamis are writing that there is no music without the flute. If there's no flute, there is no music. And there is no flute without Krishna playing it. So, like this, we are spending our evenings in relishing kirtan and performed in a musical way. But truly, the real music is Krishna's flute. That's the real understanding. Right? Nothing compares to that. Without that, it's incomplete. So our kirtan is a simple offering, and at the same time, it is an offering for the pleasure of Krishna and the devotees. Our desire is that somehow or other we all become absorbed in taking shelter. Because what else can we do? We can only take shelter of kirtan. We cannot take it away any further. Although I've tried many times to see how far I could take it, but really all I can do is try and take shelter of the holy name and nothing else. So like that, we are approaching Krishna. Not yet with a pure state of consciousness. So our understanding is shallow. We hear about Krishna, but it doesn't touch us very deeply. We chant, but not like Lord Nityananda, who came with the devotees from Puri on the way to Bengal and who could not find the way to Bengal because they were so absorbed in the kirtan, they would miss the turn every time. They would walk past the turn and then say, are we really on the right way? They asked someone, no, the way to Bengal is 8 kilometers back. Oh, they went back and then they missed it again. It took a long time. So what can we say? Our absorption is not so deep. But still we cannot stop. We cannot stop. Still we have become captured by this chanting. So that is the nature of Krishna Katha and of chanting the holy name, that slowly it will capture us. And then, again and again, and it is about becoming absorbed. Just a little bit of philosophy and then I'll end. The acharyas explain that chanting in the first stage is practiced in the stage of Sravanadas, the stage of continuously hearing and chanting. But it is external. At that stage, the remembrance of Krishna is not very deep. One doesn't know very much about Krishna. One has not made a great sacrifice for Krishna. And therefore, the chanting, hearing and chanting remains external. But at one point, the remembrance comes more and more. One has done service for Krishna. One has made a sacrifice for Krishna. One has heard about Krishna from bona fide sources, and one begins to remember Krishna more. So this is the stage of Smaranam. Then the next stage is called Dharana. Dharana means where we are it means to contain, it means to hold on. Therefore, in the Upadesa Amrita Nectar of Instruction, it's translated as absorption. It is absorption, dharana. So this absorption is a very important point. We have to become more absorbed. That is our whole thing. Krishna consciousness is about that. It's about becoming absorbed. Absorbed in chanting, absorbed in reading about Krishna. Absorbed. Always thinking about Krishna. Always hearing more about Krishna. Always remembering Krishna. More Krishna. More discussions about Krishna. Just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. The associates of Lord Chaitanya, they, even while taking prasadam, they would chant between bites. So like this, such absorption must come. Then the next stage of smarana dasa is dhyana, where one begins deep meditation on Krishna. When that meditation matures, then Krishna appears in the meditation. And when Krishna appears in the meditation, yes, then Krishna will start to take action. It's a very advanced stage, way beyond our levels. And beyond that level, there is samadhi. theoretical. And then the next stage is apanadas, where the eternal spiritual identity becomes awoken, and where we again remember our eternal relationship with Krishna. Those things, what can we say? We just try to remain absorbed in hearing and chanting and remembering. And if we just spend our time with that, then we can approach Vrindavan consciousness. We cannot fully be there, because we cannot just remember our eternal identity, but we can begin to approach it just by hearing, chanting, and remembering. So that's the essence of the retreat, not pizza. Somehow or other, this is a pizza retreat. It's like I came and immediately pizzas were everywhere already. As soon as I arrived, every year, so many pizzas. It's like pizza, pizza, pizza. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, hearing, chanting, and remembering is the means by which we can approach Vrindavan consciousness. All right, then I'll end with that as an introduction.